Turn in your Bibles today to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. While you're turning, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a terrible day, and you go up to someone, and you begin to tell them how things are going, or how you might be feeling, or the issues that you might be going in your life, and they'll look at you, and they'll say, well, just hang in there. And sometimes you feel like slapping them. Or sometimes you feel like asking people, when they tell you just to hang in there, you feel like asking them to see, to show you their credentials as a counselor, because you wonder about their counseling ability. Now, you say, preacher, where are you going with that this morning? Well, here's where I'm going with it. That's the title of my message this morning, just hang in there. Now, in Daniel chapter 6, let me begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account, or give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. The Bible says that he was faithful. And I'd like to, if possible, today, and I certainly do not think that I'm contradicting or showing any disrespect for the thought of the passage of Scripture. I believe we can see here in the Bible that Daniel was a person who just hung in there. He just hung in there. Daniel was commended in Scripture as a person who was faithful. He just hung in there. He was steadfast. And I want to use that thought this morning, but again, my principal thought is simply this: just hang in there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you for the good music this morning that's reminded us to love the Lord, to trust Him, to believe on Him, to know what we have in Him, to rejoice in the blessings, to know that there's a heaven for the Christian. And Lord, we thank you today, and then we're reminded that we just need to keep on praying and trusting you. Now, dear Lord, today I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll bless now the ministry of the Word of God for every person on our prayer list. And Lord, you're certainly aware of everyone today that has needs of some sort. And God, I pray that you would work exceedingly abundantly. Many people are out today because of sickness, and I pray that you sustain them and help them. Now, Lord, bless us now. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the first time we meet Daniel in this precious book that bears his name, Daniel was just a young teenage boy who had been taken captive to Babylon. He had been taken away into captivity. Even then, when you read the early portions of this book, you find that Daniel was faithful. Daniel just hung in there. Daniel just kept on doing the right thing, just kept on serving God, just kept on hanging in there for the glory of God. You keep reading the book of Daniel. We meet him in a few more chapters later on if you keep reading in Daniel. Chapter 2, he's a young man. He's called to interpret a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Again, we see Daniel simply serving the Lord, simply hanging in there, simply being faithful. Daniel shows up again in chapter 4 as a middle-aged man who again is who's called to interpret another dream. And once again, Daniel is rolling along, hanging in there, being faithful, and doing the right thing. And then in chapter 5, he's standing before God. Again, he's faithful. Then in this text today, chapter number 6, which is the text that we're looking at today, he's now a man in his 80s. He's in his 80s. He's now an old man. And yet he's still doing what he's always done. He's been in Babylon now 70 years. But he's still hanging in there. He's still faithfully serving the Lord, who has saved him by His grace. Just because Daniel was faithful, just because Daniel did the right thing, he drew the jealousy from some of his peers. There was a hatred coming at him from the ungodly people. There was a plot against his life. He winds up in the lion's den in chapter 6 of this precious chapter. This is probably one of the most read chapters in the whole book. This is probably one of the most popular Bible stories as told. The story of Daniel in the lion's den. But even while he's in that lion's den, even with the experiences that we see in chapter 6, Daniel still is hanging in there. Daniel is still faithful. Daniel hasn't lost any ground spiritually. Daniel is still the man of God. He's cast into the lion's den. He's been sentenced to death for nothing more or less than simply living for God. They make plots against him. They accuse him wrongly. And they arrange, his critics arrange some kind of a strategy. And he's in the lion's den in chapter number 6. But he's still hanging in there. And I want to just stay with that thought this morning. Daniel was a man who just hung in there. First of all, let me say this. He hung in there in that he was faithful. Verse number 4, which we've looked at. He was faithful. The word is used, faithful. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, you might be interested to know that faithful, some would say, well, it means full of faith. And that's okay. But it means to be true. It means to be devoted. It means to be staunch, to be constant, to be loyal. It implies a quality of stability, of dependability, of devotion. Being faithful implies long, continued, steadfast fidelity. It means staying true to obligation. Daniel was a man who was called faithful. That's a pretty good title. That's a pretty good commendation. That's something that's pretty nice to be called. You see, a lot of times, people are looking for very, let's say, exotic. I'm talking about a title that really gets people's attention. And that's okay. Doctor, lawyer, politician, you name it. All kinds of good titles out there. But you know what? When it comes right down to it, as far as a Christian is concerned, if you're just called faithful, that means a whole lot. Just be faithful. Daniel was faithful. He was faithful. I said he hung in there. Let me tell you how he hung in there. First of all, he hung out with the right people. He hung out with the right people. In Daniel chapter 3, what about those three Hebrew children? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What about the account of those three Hebrew children? They're his kind of people. In chapter 3, it's those three Hebrew children that are cast into the fiery furnace because of their testimony, because of their lifestyle. They're hurled into a fiery furnace, and everyone's familiar with that Bible story. But they surely, when they got down there, they weren't alone. There was someone in there with them. And it was later said, the sign of the fourth man that I see is like the Son of God. So they had good company, didn't they? They had good company. But you know, that was Daniel's kind of people. He hung in there because he hung out with the right kind of people. And may I say today, if you want to hang in there, you hang out with the right kind of people. I believe I can give you a pretty good Bible verse to prove that. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20, the Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." If you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. If you walk with fools, you'll start acting foolish. It pays to hang out with the right kind of people if you're going to hang in there. I can't overemphasize the fact, and why am I telling you, I'm preaching to the choir, I understand this morning, but there could be some maybe that hasn't quite got it yet. It's important that God's people hobnob around with fellow Christians. It's important that you pay attention and me and I pay attention to the company that I keep. Because I'll tell you something. We have what is called human nature. We have a sin nature. And that sin nature is looking for an opportunity to do the wrong thing. And when we're around people that have no respect for God, that have no respect for the Bible, that live all kinds of mixed up lives, we're going to be tempted to do the same thing. If we want to hang in there in the right kind of way, we need to hang out with the right kind of people. Thank God for Christians, fellow believers. I know you have to work and you have to rub shoulders with folks, many of them that don't even know the Lord. But it's kind of a suspicious thing that some people just seem like they delight more being around those that aren't serving God than those that are serving God. That's not a very good sign there, is it? We're better off to be around people that love the Lord, and we ought to appreciate their influence on our lives. You know, we encourage one another to hang in there. That's what we do as a church. We encourage one another to hang in there. I encourage you to hang in there. You encourage me to hang in there. And I'm not using that term lightly at all, because basically what it is, our lives are influencing others in our framework of a fellowship to keep being faithful, to keep hanging in there. And there's a good reason why we do that. We're in the same battle. God's people are in the same battle. We're fighting the same enemies. I mean, it's just like a military scenario. Could you imagine how ineffective a military unit would be if everybody in that unit did their own thing, and they didn't have good cooperation, and they weren't all focused upon the battle strategy? Could you imagine how that would be? God's people can learn a lesson from that. We need to put our minds together, our hearts together, our shoulders together. We need to support each other. We need to be saying to one another, hang in there. Hang in there. Daniel hung in there because he hung around with the right people. It's people like those three Hebrew children that went in the fiery furnace that he enjoyed being around. Now, I've learned this, though, and I know you have, too. We, by the way, need to be looking for ways of encouraging one another. We ought to really do that. But sometimes we go at it wrong. And let me illustrate what I'm saying. There's not a person in this church service this morning that doesn't have some kind of issue going on in your life. Health, emotional, financial, family issues. I mean, you know what I'm saying? No one's immune. Everybody's got something going on. And here's what I've learned. Sometimes we encourage each other more by being a good listener than a good advisor. Sometimes just listening. Advising isn't always the best thing to do. The best way to encourage people is not to pull from your own experience, but to point them to one who can really help them. Let's say I go to someone and I tell them I'm having issues with my heart. And they look at me and they'll say, "It's strange you said that. I've been having some chest pains lately myself." Well, that doesn't help me. It might help me if that person would say to me, "I know a good doctor." By the way, I remember years ago, this actually happened. Carol and I hadn't been saved too long, and I was a student in Bible. And I'll tell you, I'm in a good place to make an admission here behind the pulpit. It's going to be strange to tell you this. One time we went to church service, and the preacher that was preaching, he was that kind of a preacher. He could get people down the aisle one way or the other. I believe he had people coming forward that night to give up bubble gum, I believe. The way that guy preached, he had me and Carol both thinking we weren't saved. We were in a mess. We went forward. The preacher lined us up with another Piedmont student who was a counselor. And I can still remember this. I went back there and he said, "What's your problem?" I said, "I'm having a tendency right now to doubt my salvation." He looked at me, he said, "I'm having the same problem." Needless to say, that guy didn't help me. Sometimes we're better off doing less advising and more listening. It doesn't really help to tell someone I've got a similar problem. That's not where real counsel comes in. It's by letting people know you care. It's by listening to them. It's by praying with them. It's by sharing Scripture with them. It's by pointing them to the one who's able to help them through it. But why do some people think they always have to give advice? It's not always the best thing. Too often we point people to our similar experiences instead of to the one who's really the comforter. But it is also true, and we know this is true, that fellow faithful Christians have the testimony and have the experience to challenge us to hang in there. But again, let me come back to my point. Daniel hung in there because he hung out with the right people. If you're around discouraging, depressing, down-in-the-mouth people, you're not going to leave. You're not going to walk away very pumped up. It'll bring you down too. But it's important to hang in there, to hang out with the right people. Number two, when I think of Daniel, he hung in there with the right people, and he hung in there, you ready for this one? Because he was hanging on to the right thing. He hung in there because he was hanging on to the right thing. He believed that he who he served, he believed that what he believed, that who he served, was worth hanging in there for. If you and I today can really settle on what we believe and really know for sure what we believe, then we're more apt to hang in there. If we're unsteady in what we know and what we believe, then it's going to be easy to be unsteady in how we serve our department, because it's important to know who we're representing and to know what we believe. Daniel hung in there because he was hanging on to the right thing. Like David, Daniel could say, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" I say to all of us this morning, our cause makes it worth hanging in here. We've got a worthy cause. We represent the King of Kings. We serve God. We have the right doctrine. We believe the right thing. We shouldn't be bailing out of the boat because we have the right thing to hang in there for. If you're shaky in what you believe, you're more apt to be shaken in what you believe. If you're shaky, you'll get shaken. No wonder the Bible talks about the fact contending for the faith. In other words, the body of truth. We need to hone in on the truth. That's why, as a preacher, I encourage people to get all the Bible you can get, to get mature, to get developed, to study the Bible, to come to church, to take this thing serious. Because there's coming a time in our life we're going to need every morsel of truth we can hang on. When the bottom falls out from beneath your feet, you're going to need more than I hope so. You're going to need I know so. Daniel hung in there because he hung on to the right thing. He was solid. He was stable. He was settled. He knew what he believed. You know, Philippians chapter 2 says, Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, did Paul the apostle pin it down pretty good, considering the fact he wrote it 2,000 years ago. You'd think he's talking about the crowd in 2018. He said the crooked and perverse nation. Have you ever seen so much crookedness and perverseness in high places we've seen in our country? He said, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Oh, I'd encourage every one of you today to write down Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 and study it up real good. Paul, or Daniel rather, Daniel hung in there because he hung out with the right people. Daniel hung in there because he hung on to the right thing. And Daniel hung in there, but he did find himself hanging out with the lions. He hung out with the lions. By the way, that's the expression that young people use today, isn't it? I'm going to go hang out with my friends. How about this? I'm going to go hang out with the lions. That's what he did. He hung out with the lions. Now, you'll notice, and by the way, you already know this, Daniel did not volunteer for that eventful night at all. He didn't step up to the plate like people do in the military and say, I want to volunteer. Daniel didn't volunteer for the lion's den. He got volunteered. I remember many times I'd wind up having to do things that I didn't volunteer for, but I got volunteered. Sometimes that happens in the church. You don't volunteer, but someone will volunteer you if you're not careful. You hang around, you be around the right person at the right time, and there's a job need, you're liable to find yourself volunteered. Daniel got volunteered, but he did not volunteer. Daniel hung in there because he hung out with the right people. Daniel hung in there because he hung on to the right things. Daniel hung in there by hanging out with the lions. And there's a couple things I'll mention in conjunction with that point. What led to that event? Why did Daniel wind up hanging out with the lions? Well, the book clearly lets us understand his position put him into crosshairs. His position. He was prime minister under Darius the king. And many times a person in a prime position will be resented by those that have a jealous spirit. He was exalted, yes he was, but Daniel was not intoxicated by success. The Bible says he had an excellent spirit. He couldn't be bought. Daniel was a person who could not be bought. You know, a person, by the way, and let me interject this thought. A person's better off with an ounce of grace than a ton of worldly riches. You're better off with an ounce of grace. Daniel maintained his faithfulness and his worship. both under the smiles of his friends and the frowns of his enemies. Charges had been trumped up against him, and we know that the old king had been flattered, and the king had to live up to the law of the Medes and the Persians. The king, there was a law in effect, and the king had to honor it. But what happened? The king subjected himself to being put into that bubble because he was flattered. You know the account in the book of Daniel where they said, "Long live the king." I mean, his subjects really had him feeling important. So the old king, first thing he knew, the flattery got him down, he went in and signed it, signed off on it. And he couldn't change it. He couldn't alter it. And at the same time, the king had respect for Daniel because the king had more of a sleepless night than Daniel did. That's the interesting thing. The old king lost more sleep over it than Daniel. Daniel had a good night's rest, I believe. And at the same time, I mean, my goodness gracious, when God locked jaw the lions, they couldn't hurt him. Maybe he just rubbed them all night, you know, patted them like a cat. I mean, that's not beyond thinking. One thing for sure, they couldn't get at him. They couldn't eat. They either lost their appetite or they had lockjaw. Whatever it was, God supernaturally worked it. That's what happened. But what did old Daniel do? Three times a day he kept praying, though. I'm saying before the lion's den and afterwards, he had a Christianity that had a prayer, that had an open window prayer thing that went on three times a day, window open. Old Daniel's praying. Three times a day. I believe that God's people need an open prayer window Christianity, don't you? We need to keep the windows open. They'll keep the windows of prayer open. He kept praying. So you know the account here, because of his testimony, there was a plot against him. He's thrown into the lion's den, but he's brought through it. God delivers him. He had troubles, didn't he? The way we see it. I don't know of anybody in my lifetime that's ever been thrown into a lion's den, do you? I mean, that certainly wouldn't be my choice of way to spend night. Lion's den. He had trouble, but God delivered him. Why? He hung in there. He hung in there. Speaking of troubles, I like what somebody one time said. They said, when it comes to troubles, troubles are like a kidney stone. They hurt, but they come to pass. One guy got up one time. He said he was a counselor. He said, "Dearly beloved, we're gathered here together to get through this thing called life." And then somebody said this: "What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls it a butterfly." Daniel had a heap of trouble from the human standpoint, but he's hanging in there. He had God helping him. And then finally this morning, Daniel hung in there. He hung out with the right people. He hung on to the right things. He had to hang out with the lions. But he was able to hang in there because he was held by the one who loved him and took care of him. And I'll tell you, that's the key to hanging in there, is to be held by the one who loves us and will take care of us.